Eye on Careers.
In association with Laymoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And tonight, we're going to look at what it takes to make it to the top. To make it to the top 1% of your profession. For only those who risk going too far will know how far they can go. So what does it take? The power of your mind, the power of thought, the power of your imagination. A defining feature of human nature is that we can imagine the future. We can see a world that does not yet exist. And you have to see your future. You have to visualize that person you want to become before you attain it. You have to see it before you can be it. And you have to conceive it before you can achieve it. You have to see success when there's no evidence of success in your environment. For anyone who's achieved greatness knows failure, has been knocked down, has had victory taken from them. But the difference between them and the herd is they never gave up. They never stopped believing. They never stopped seeing that future for themselves, that image of themselves, and they worked at it day in, day out. They never gave up when people gave up on them. When no one else believed in them, they pushed on. And that is a definition of success, simply getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. You need to wake up in the morning and step right into your dream and imagine that success, that victory. This is Eye on Careers. So we're going to be looking at all the top stories, top success stories. We've had all the, I think last show we had Jamal Oldham on. He was the he played with the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan and Ahmed Luta on together, who's the CEO of Al Hilal Capital, investment banker and professional basketball player. Put them side by side, and the similarities are uncanny. Irrespective whether you're a basketball player, investment banker, psychologist, or artist, doesn't matter. The tenets of success are the same, are real, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. Coming up, we have a great show for you, and actually, I just got word that next week we have a guy who's quite a fan of Mexican wrestling, I hear, the founders of Dubizzle.com coming on, and there's a real success story, a company built from scratch, and talk about having the imagination, talking about seeing that success, image of success of yourself before it happens. I think this is a real critical element that separates those who achieve greatness. Our first guest is Dr. Saliha Alfridi. She is a clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia, something that she started from scratch, pretty much in the height of the crisis. And our second guest is also an entrepreneur, Kashif Jusab, managing director for Lighthouse Studio, photographer. He is a bit of an artist, but I think he started his life as an engineer. And we'll be looking at what it takes to make it. And we'll be looking at these two success stories. So our first one, as I said, is Dr. Saliha Alfridi. Let's hear a little bit about her background.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Dr. Saliha Alfridi is a USA, UAE licensed clinical psychologist and the managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. Saliha grew up in the suburbs of Chicago and moved to Dubai in 2008 with a mission to have a positive impact on the mental health of the individuals in this region. She completed her undergraduate studies at the University of Michigan and her graduate studies at Arizona School of Professional Psychology, where she received a master's in clinical psychology and then continued to complete her doctorate in clinical psychology. Dr. Afridi is a generalist by training. She has experience in a wide range of mental health issues. She has worked with individuals of mental health issues coming from varying cultures, ethnicities and religions. Dr. Afridi works with adolescents and adults using talk psychotherapy and with children using play therapy and activity therapy. Dr. Afridi also spends a lot of her time doing community outreach and education within the Lighthouse, as well as in schools and corporations. She conducts seminars and presentations on many mental health related topics such as stress management, positive psychology, relationships and parenting. Dr. Afridi's specialist interest and expertise is in parenting, and she has spent many years doing research and implementing parenting programs based on Alderian child guidance principles.
Left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains.
Dr. Saliha, welcome to Eye on Careers.
It is my honor to be here, Shane.
You said you prefer silence, as you said, so, yeah. So I came.
I'm going to laugh, yes. The song is beautiful, thank you.
So I guess that tranquility that you value with being such a hectic life of being an entrepreneur and raising three children and being a wife and so many other things that you do, I can understand. Silence is very valuable.
It is.
But I think even as a business owner, you sometimes get into that helmet fire, what they called, that's an aviation term back from, you know, World War I and World War II, where they used to get into these aerial dogfights. And when there's too much going on, it's called helmet fire. You can't focus, or you can't really find your way through the woods. I don't know if you ever have that.
Oh, that's probably sounds like most of my day every day. But absolutely, I think, you know, having focus, you know, without, you know, really sort of getting the noise in your way and, you know, really taking charge of what you want to think about and having a focus on what you want to do for your day is so important, regardless of all the noise amongst the kids and the clients and, you know, Shakeside Road.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're running a business, you know, you sometimes have to make big decisions about marketing or, you know, some of these, they're not linear decisions. They're not black and white decisions. And, you know, do you ever have trouble kind of clearing your mind and, you know, picking, you know, is it left or right? Do we go at this junction? Because, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
You know, as I mature and I have gotten a sense of myself within, you know, my role as a psychologist and my being as a psychologist, I think I don't look outwards for these sort of answers. If I really need to make a decision, I usually go inwards and I may meditate or I may wake up first thing in the morning, you know, 5:30 before anybody else is up. And I will really just ask my inner self, my higher self, whether or not I should go forward with one decision or not. And it could be a very small decision as to whether or not I should go with this marketing firm or that. Or it could be a big decision as to bringing someone onto our team. But I usually go with my gut instinct.
Do you think that's one of the defining features, that people who are very successful listen to that inner voice? And those people who may find trouble finding their stride, they're looking outside and they're looking for answers outside. They're trying to copy someone else's career path. They're not listening to the real inner voice, the person that they really are.
Absolutely. I would, if you were to ask me, Shane, you know, what is one of those things that someone needs to really cultivate in order for them to get through life and really see them, you know, see themselves through at the finish line? I would say listening to your intuition, listening to your gut, and really, you know, asking yourself, what is it that I want to do and what is it that I love, and waiting for that answer to surface, because sometimes it takes a while for the answer to surface, but, you know, sort of sit there in that place and it will come.
And we'll find out, you know, why is it people don't listen to that inner voice, and what you can do to get to the point where you can listen to that. This is Dr. Saliha Afridi. She's a clinical psychologist, managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. She's going to be sharing, you know, her journey to starting her own business, and as well her insights to helping you become more successful in your career, your profession. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what does it take to be successful and what kind of techniques you can use to help yourself take that next step, in the ladder, push yourself forward and move your profession to the next level. How should you be thinking? What kind of blueprint should you be using? What kind of roadmap? And to do that, obviously, we have some very successful people in the studio with us on this episode of Eye on Careers. We have Dr. Saliha Afridi. She is a clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. She started her own mental health clinic in 2011, and it's been a huge success. At the same time, she manages a family life that includes three children, so she's got a lot of energy and knows how to manage her time. Dr. Saliha, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's great to have you here, and it's always interesting watching how, you know, people can manage this home life and business and, you know, try to be successful in all areas. And you don't look exhausted or tired. There's no bags under your eyes. I mean, I'm really disappointed.
I have a great support network with family and, you know, my staff. And so it's really a great team effort.
Right, right. But your husband, I believe he works for McKinsey, so he also would have a tough time managing that work-life balance. McKinsey's known for burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, we work hard. We have a good work ethic within our family.
Excellent, excellent. Because your poor kids, right? Be like, "How, you only did 10 hours of homework?"
Yeah. No, we let children be children, but there is work time every day. We all do work time.
Right, right. So how did you know, did you always know you're going to be a psychologist? Or what was, maybe you can just walk us through, you know, your path of that journey of becoming from starting from your school.
You know, early on, as a child, I was very, very sensitive. And so I remember one of those moments where my mom telling me that, you know, "I think you'd be great at any helping profession. Just don't be a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because I think you'll be way too sensitive and you'll probably be crying all the time because that's what you'll be listening to all day, and you'll be really depressed." So I sort of took that off the shelf for a long time. I took a business track. I took anthropology. I was going to go into international business. I even did a little stint in marketing for a year. And I just found that I needed more soul, and I just wasn't finding a purpose every day that I would go into work. And so one of the most important lessons that I learned through all of those experiences of business and marketing and, you know, doing all the things that I thought I should do because I don't think I should be a psychologist, was that if your work life and if your career is not anchored in an intention, and if it's not anchored in a why am I doing this? What is the purpose? Then you're going to run out of steam at some point. And, you know, whether it be hard work, a Spartan work ethic, which I've always had, laser-like focus, which I've always had, those were just sort of the foundations, the building blocks. But what really, really sort of energized me, motivated me, and kept me going amongst, you know, children births and moving and, from the U.S. to Dubai, all of that, when, you know, life kind of hit hard, I was able to stand in the face of that only because I was anchored in an intention that I wanted to do good in this region, and I wanted to, you know, change the face of mental health.
Yeah, I read, I think it was in the book Man's Search for Meaning. I think Dr. Victor writes, to live is to suffer, but to find meaning in your suffering is to survive.
Absolutely.
And I think he's the one who wrote, "He who has a why can overcome any how."
I haven't heard that, but that's exactly spot on.
Excellent. So there we go. So, but I think when you look at it, aren't people robbed of this early on when, you know, in school they teach you to try to get a job or at best a career? Nobody tells you to go and get a life's work or really fulfill your purpose in life. And if you start talking to people like that, they start to think that maybe you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? If I start saying this is my life's work versus this is my job. It's almost like frowned upon, but the key to success is really getting to that point where what is my life's work going to be?
Absolutely. For me, psychology is not a job, and it is who I am. It is my being on a fundamental level. And I don't know how I could go the rest of my life doing a job. I don't know how I would do it. I need a purpose. I need a life's purpose. And even when I go into high schools and speak to kids about careers, as I go into many career days, I really drive that point home. You need to love what you do, no matter what it is. And when you love what you do, the roads sort of open up and everything just becomes a bit easier. Even the punches that come with that are actually something that you can take because you love it. You love what you're doing.
And so when you say obviously it's great if you love what you're doing, but you know, the truth is that you can't love it all the time, especially in the beginning, right? Isn't it? You know, you're doing grunt work. Or what about those days where there is no light, there is only darkness, there is no love, there's only suffering, you know, those days where you just don't feel like continuing, where you want to quit? Have you ever felt like quitting?
I don't know if I've ever felt like quitting, but, you know, I always imagine myself going through life with a microscope and a telescope. And the microscope is just keep your head down and keep working and doing and anchor yourself in that intention. And the telescope is there to give you a vision of where you're headed. And absolutely, there will be days that it will be hard, and it will be hard to wake up, and it will be hard to sit with some stories. But if you love what you do, it works. You are able to rise above that, and you're still able to get up and go the next day to work because you're going there with a purpose. So hard, there are days that are hard, but I think it's important to have vision and perspective in those days.
Many people, they have several visions, you know, they're not really sure, or some people suffer from a strong intellect and they're interested in many things, and because they're smart, they can do many things, and mm-hmm. it becomes more confusing. Other people, they just can't find that passionate thing. What was that journey of discovery for you? When did you know, this is my purpose, this is what I'm going to do?
I think you actually described me when you said, you know, when people are actually good at a lot of things. I think everything that I've ever done, I've actually been quite good at because I've had a strong sense of curiosity and I've wanted to learn. And so that learning drove me. But it wasn't until I was working from the inside out and really, you know, engaging my heart in what I was doing that I actually felt that I was, you know, really engaged. And the concept of flow, where I lost, you know, a concept of time and space and, you know, place, because when I sit with my client, I'm 100% engaged in that moment with that story and that narrative. So, I think as much as we want to prize the intellect, I think our heart, our spirit actually is the one that is supposed to guide us.
Right, so you put your heart over your brain.
I don't know if I would put it over, but I definitely would listen to it more, at least the kind of person that I am. Maybe you're right. Okay, fine, yes, I would. I would. But it's never led me wrong.
Right. I say, you know, if you don't have what's in here, what's up here doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at a success story, that drive, that focus, that tenacity to continue doing something over and over that you're passionate about over a period of 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, that breeds success. And sometimes I think that people who follow what I call the MBA-itis, I don't know if you've seen this, where they're so smart at picking opportunities that they're all over the map. They're like, you know, they're doing one thing for 40 years and then this for 40 years. And at the end of 15 or 20 years, they have mm-hmm. a smorgasbord of experience, which is not going to breed, like you said, your life's work.
Absolutely. So those people would be really curious and really interested and really smart, perhaps, but they're not anchored in a why, and they're not anchored in an intention. So anchor yourself and start with the why, And then everything else sort of falls into place.
So what can people do to find out what that why is, or what are some of the things you would do to figure out what this why is?
I think that depends on the person and their own life's journey. For me, I think, like I've said, you know, my answers have always been, you know, what really sort of, you know, really switches all parts of me on. What am I using all parts of me? When am I using all parts of me? So where is my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit, every part of me is engaged. That's when I know I'm fully engaged. So I'm sure there are things that people have done in their lives that they have felt that level of engagement. I think go with that and find a life purpose that is associated with that.
Part of it, I think, is research, though, don't you? Like, you find so many executives, they don't know how their industry started. They don't know who the top players in the industry are. They don't know what the key milestones, you know, historically in the industry were. So I would imagine you know how psychology began, or what were the main milestones of the journey of how psychology evolved, right? So you talk to other executives. And if you don't know the history, you don't know the identity of your industry, how are you going to be excited about it? I don't know if you find that at all.
I don't know if it's relevant within the career of a psychologist. I mean, obviously we know who started, you know, who were the founding fathers of psychology, because that's what our theories are based on. But if somebody's really interested in psychology and they really want to pursue it as a career, I don't know if... it requires that much research on the history of psychology. It's more important that you know your own history and you've worked your own issues out rather than, you know, the issues of the industry. As a therapist or as a psychologist, it's absolutely critical that the vessel being I, the psychologist, really sort their own stuff out before they try to go and try to help others. So I think it's more of a personal history rather than a industry history.
So it really seems like you're tapping on a sense of identity. That what's really, who are you? What's your sense of purpose? What's your, who are you as a person? This is basically the bedrock of a success story.
I would say for any story, absolutely. It's so critical that people know who they are and why they're here and, you know, what they're going to do with the gift that they have.
This is Dr. Saliha Afridi. She is a clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. She's sharing her insights to high performance and success in entrepreneurialism. She has started her own clinic. Of course, the Lighthouse Arabia is a clinic she started from scratch in the midst of a financial crisis. And she is sharing her stories learned on that road. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we are listening to the story of Dr. Saliha Afridi. She is a clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia, a mental health clinic which she started in the midst of the financial crisis. Dr. Saliha, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And we were just talking, you know, at the break, saying, you know, strategy, tactics, you know, these business concepts. And I said, you know, you must have these because you're a businesswoman. And you said, no, I'm not.
Yes, I admit, Shane, I am not a businesswoman. We have a very successful business. The Lighthouse Arabia is, you know, a booming practice. I'm very proud of our team, my partner, Dr. Tarwin. We've done a really great job at building a successful business. But I'll be very honest with you. It had very little to do with, you know, tactics and strategy. I have this deer in headlights look when someone asks me those sort of questions. This business was started, founded, and has been running purely on heart. We do the best we can. We bring our whole self into work every single day, and we give each and every one of our clients every part of us. And that basically is our strategy and our tactics.
So, you know, do you put tactics over strategy? Because what you're talking about is, you know, making a good sandwich, making sure that sandwich is delivered, and, you know, the people will come. You know, and that's tactical excellence, right? That's delivering an amazing customer service experience and time again.
If excellence is a tactic, then absolutely. I agree. Yes, that is my tactic.
So it's just focus on just giving that customer the ultimate service experience.
Absolutely. You know, I think when someone comes into a psychology clinic, they're in a quite a vulnerable place in their life or in their own self. And so to be able to hold them and to be able to guide them and, you know, help them transform or heal, you need to bring your best. And if you can't bring your best, then, you know, it's okay to take that time off. We actually encourage that for our, you know, our team members. But if you're at work, it's only the best.
Aren't some of these cases just hopeless, though? Like, some of these people, they just don't want to heal, right? You know, they want to take that victim status. Or like Andrew Carnegie said, you can't push someone up a ladder, right?
Yeah, we have. I don't think anyone is hopeless. I think if we identify the obstacles as to why they are not able to heal and why they're maybe so afraid of letting go of their wounds, because that's how they've identified themselves for so long. I think if we sort of call those things out and work with them, anyone is able to heal.
So when you're building your staff, do you believe that good people don't need to be motivated? Right, because if I was, you know, going to work in your clinic, I would just love being a psychologist so much that I just like I'm freaking out to get to work. Right, or is it the other management style where people need a carrot and stick, and you know you have to motivate, you know you have to drive motivation. The leader must inspire.
I think the team that we have at the Lighthouse is an amazing team. I don't find myself, you know, giving pep talks or inspirational, you know, messages every morning, but I think the team that we have is quite self-driven, quite motivated themselves, and they all have a purpose. They're there with a mission. We all are, and that is to really change the way mental health is perceived in this region and the way the mental health treatment is delivered in this region. And so when you have a purpose that links you, motivation and encouragement and all of that stuff sort of comes with it.
If an executive wants to really move into that top 5% performance, should they also, you know, have a psychologist there to help tweak them and get that and fine tweak that mental mindset, that psychology of winning? Would that be an asset?
You know, when you reach that level of management, the upper management, the 5% that you said, it's usually the soft skills that are in your way of, you know, reaching the top. So I think having a psychologist, which will probably serve as a coach, and pointing out the things that you might be weak at and developing the things that you are strong at would be actually very helpful. You know, the best players in the world have coaches because we all are not able to see our own back. And so you need someone to point out the things that you are not able to see yourself. And as therapists, we have therapists. So, you know, it's constantly wanting to develop, constantly wanting to have insight, because you can never know everything there is to know about yourself. And, you know, it's just a universe within you. So
you have you practice what you preach. You have a therapist.
Absolutely.
Really?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Just to do exactly what I just discussed, to push your performance.
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, personally and professionally.
But I think that when you say use the word therapist, it's basically the connotation or the image is that, you know, you have a problem and the therapy is fixing the problem, versus this is kind of a new age idea where you're using therapy to increase your success.
Sure. I mean, when we use the word therapy, I think there's a lot of stigma associated with that. Only sick people or only crazy people or only really mentally ill people go to a therapist. Well, I'm here to say that that's not the case. And there's what we call insight-oriented therapy, where you're actually learning a lot more about yourself. What motivates you? What really excites you? And what are your patterns? Where did you learn those patterns? What do you get triggered at? And no one is perfect, no matter how much work you do. And everyone has fears, no matter how courageous you may be. So how do you work through all of those issues? A therapist can help you with that.
What are some of the common workplace issues or career-related issues that you deal with within your clinic?
Like I said, it's usually soft skills. It's people that are not able to be authentic within their workspace. And so whether they're afraid of their boss because, you know, the boss may be a bully, or whether they have to fire someone and they actually need to do that, but they don't have the courage. But they're, you know, it's a lacking of integrity. That is what I most often face. And by integrity, I mean authenticity, because it takes a lot of courage to be true and real and in the face of all your fears, and to assert yourself, it can be quite a difficult task.
It also gets in the way, you know, integrity, because, you know, when you're trying to make a decision, you know, usually, you know, like you said, you're exercising integrity in your decision-making process limits your options and often gives you, like you said, you have to have courage.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm defining it right, but I define integrity as actions matching values or values matching actions, so that you basically have to walk the walk. You know, you know what you say your values are, then you need to execute on those.
Absolutely. You know, when your heart, your mind, and your soul is aligned, that's what I call integrity, where you're actually integrated and aligned and, you know, acting as one.
This is also the key, you know, when you look at your earlier, when you were saying some of the things that really drive a success story was a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, a sense of knowing who you are. And, you know, integrity is the key, is one of the keys to unlocking that identity story, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, growing up as a Pathan Pakistani woman, I was born in Pakistan, then we moved to the U.S., quite traditional parents, you know, who are always, always very supportive. But I come from, you know, a whole bunch of other people in Pakistan that may not have, you know, thought that a woman should be working, that she should even pursue higher careers. I'm actually the first woman in my family to get a doctorate. And so I had to face...
That's not uncommon, though, because, like, you know, not everybody goes and gets a doctorate. So
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's because you're Pakistani.
Well,
that you're the only woman who...
But there's a lot of Pakistani, you know, families that actually, there's a lot of doctors and engineers and, you know, lawyers. But where I come from, we're quite traditional. You know, it was something that I had to face, but, you know, I had the love and the prayers and the support of my parents, who were just like, you know, go get it, and we're going to be with you the whole way through. And so, you know, having to face that, it really, you know, it does require a sense of purpose and integrity and authenticity. So I think growing up in the U.S., I had the luxury of saying, who am I? What do I really want to do? Because I was a bit away from that. But I was still very afraid. I was afraid of judgment. I was afraid of getting rejected by my family. I was afraid that I would not be accepted, because it's just not done where women work and have families. It's just not done. But I think being true to yourself is more important.
This is Dr. Saliha Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia, sharing her secrets and insights into success. Some of the bedrock concepts here are having a sense of identity, the power of integrity and what that plays in your development, a sense of purpose, finding your why, anchoring yourself in a why, having a Spartan-like work ethic, a laser-like focus, and concepts where she metamorphically uses a microscope and a telescope at the same time, but all underpinned by heart and spirit. We'll be having more of her secrets to success in just a minute.
I've come to talk with you again.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
We are listening to Dr. Saliha Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. Dr. Saliha, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane. It's nice to be here.
And we picked this song for Dr. Saliha because she runs a business. She has three kids and has so many things going on that she values silence when she gets it very much. But Dr. Slia, thank you so much for coming. For those of you who are just joining us, Dr. Slia was an American, Pakistani-American. So there was some challenges there. She was the first woman in her family to get a doctorate. Of course, there's many families where all the women don't have, many people don't get doctorates. But you know, she really pursued a career and went against the grain, and which may be for future generations may become the norm. But I think her generation was a challenge. And on top of that, she opened her mental health clinic in the height of a financial crisis. So she's really achieved quite a bit. And Dr. Slia, nobody comes on the show without being asked. The famous question is, what is your secret to success?
ION Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So Dr. Slia, what is your secret to success?
Well, I'll start with the prayers of my mother. In addition to that, a Spartan-like work ethic, laser-like focus, vision towards the end, keeping the end in mind, being anchored in a why, having a sense of purpose, all underpinned by uncompromising integrity.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I love that Spartan-like work ethic. You know, I just visualize that movie 300 where they're kicking the guy saying, "This is Sparta." That's awesome.
That's how I start every morning.
Really? Your poor husband. Is he the one who gets kicked or what?
I get up out of the bed with that sort of energy.
Wow. But I mean, this is it. When you look at success, obviously you have getting a doctorate or having an MBA helps you, but the real bedrock is your mind. It's in your mind. And some people get out of the bed in the morning and think, oh my God, I want to die. The day is going to be horrible. And, you know, you're living in a mental prison, it seems.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine waking up every morning and feeling like that. I think it's just absolutely not healthy. And I know that we say it's all in the mind, but I think if the heart is engaged, the mind follows. And so if you love what you do, I'll keep saying it again and again, if you love what you do, you never really work.
But what are some of the, you know, things that, you know, stop people from achieving, you know, mentally, psychological constructs, which are holding people back?
You know, I think we all have fears as human beings. We have a fear of rejection. We have a fear of failure. And, you know, those things really get in the way of us achieving and fulfilling our potential. So we all, you know, we stay safe, stay comfortable, but we never really truly self-actualize because, you know, we are full of fear.
Oh, and what, for those, you know, who don't have doctorates in psychology, what is self-actualizing? Sounds exciting.
It is. Self-actualizing is actually when you are fulfilling your true potential, where you are, you know, in peak moment or peak experience of spontaneity, creativity, and a wholeness of being. So you have these peak experiences throughout your life. But if you are fulfilling your potential, you are self-actualizing. And we all have an innate ability to do it. But what limits us is our fear of failure.
So some people basically are being held back by their fears. There was one story of a man who was basically had very little success in life, and he's working as a ship hand. And when he was throwing the garbage over the side of the ship, the garbage cooked his arm and pulled him into the ocean. And he was out there for like 10 hours. He thought he was going to die and get eaten by a shark and everything like this. And when he was sitting there, he was like, I've been living my whole life in fear. He's like, if they rescue me, I'm never going to let fear come into my life again. And he goes on to become a self-made millionaire and own a huge beverage company, and you know, it really was and he says in all of his writings it was that fear, was letting go of those fears. Do you think that people basically sell out on their fears and go into, say, big institutions or corporations to get that stability and protection?
Absolutely, you said it beautifully. We do, you know, compromise and negotiate our spirit, we sell out because for safety and security, because it is one of our human needs and human motivations. But, you know, if we really are going to self-actualize, we're going to need to push through some of these fears and these boundaries that we've created for ourselves. And at times, we may feel absolutely insecure, but if you push through that, the other side actually is quite beautiful.
I love these phrases, like, don't compromise or sell out your spirit. And so many people, you know, are out in the market, and that's like, they're spiritless. They're just beaten. You can see it on their faces. They're hunched over, the way they're walking, you know, the way they're moving, the way they're talking. It's just like they've had their soul sucked out of them.
Yeah, it's a shame. It happens way more often than we can imagine.
And so what's your final piece of advice for anybody out there who's looking to hit stride?
Oh, what's my final piece of advice? I think, you know, I'm sitting here, Shane, you know, with you on a Thursday, alone. And I wish I could bring every person that has been part of my journey here, because I haven't done it alone. My mother, my father, my, you know, partner, Dr. Tara, my husband, my children, my professors, my supervisors, my team at the Lighthouse. Every single one of these people should be here, because I would be nowhere without them. So I think, it's important to recognize that, yes, I have fulfilled so many of my dreams and self-actualized and have my peak experiences, but I have not done them alone. So I thank everyone that has been part of my journey.
So I guess the subtext of that advice is, you know, ask for help. Don't try and do it alone. Reach out to people. Ask questions. I'm not good at this. Can you help me?
Reach out and be grateful. Be gratitude. Have the attitude of gratitude, because... you know, sometimes when you are sort of high-flying and, you know, you've reached the top, it's sometimes you forget how you got there. It's really, really important that you recognize the people that were with you through the way.
So just to recap, have a Spartan-like work ethic, laser-like focus, have a sense of purpose, anchor yourself in a why, really find that sense of meaning in your work or what you're doing or your profession, have that sense of identity, who you are, where you're going, have uncompromising integrity. Attitude of gratitude, be grateful for that work, you know, that you have, and don't compromise or sell out your spirit. That's got to be a mantra that we need to adapt. I mean, Dr. Saleha Afridi, it's been really awesome having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking your time to share your insights with us.
The pleasure has been all mine, Shane. Thank you.
So hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon.
Great.
So that was Dr. Saleha Afridi. She runs a business, but is not a businesswoman. She's a psychologist, and she is the managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. If you are suffering, or maybe you're not suffering at all, you just want to become a little more successful, you want to unlock some of your hidden potential, it might be worthwhile going down to the Lighthouse Arabia. Coming up, we have another person who chased their dreams, started their own business, and has found success. His name is Kashif Yasub. He is the managing director of Lighthouse Studio. There's no relation between the two, just happened both to use the word lighthouse in their name. So stay with us. Coming up, we're going to be looking at what it takes to make it to the top. Don't sell out your soul. Don't give up on yourself. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let yourself be shortchanged. Believe in yourself.